Gemara Brachos Daf Nun Hem and Aleph Amar of Yochanan Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma Elo Lemi Sheyesh Bo Chachma. Strange statement by Chazal, almost self-contradictory. Kadosh Baruch Hu only gives Chachma to one who has Chachma. Well, if he has Chachma, so he doesn't need any Chachma. And if he needs more Chachma, and he only gets Chachma if he had Chachma, well, how did he get the first piece of Chachma? If Hashem only gives Chachma to someone who has Chachma. That's what Nefesh Chaim asks in Shai Dalet. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chacha Elo Mi Sheyesh Bo Chachma. Ulechora, it's a Pella. Imkein Chachma Rishona Ma'ayin Timtze Etzel HaAdam. How does a person get that first piece of Chachma? So I'd like to come back to that question. And to answer it, I think there's a stira that needs to be addressed in the Rambam. Not really in the Rambam, but a stira between the Rambam and a very famous Chazal. Maybe we'll start with the Rambam. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the famous parak where he discusses Bechir Chavshis. So the Rambam writes, Rishus l'chol adam nesunim ratz l'hatos atzma l'derech tova u'liyos tzadik ha-rishus biyado. If a person wants to make decisions in his life in order to lead himself in the direction of being a chacham or being a tzadik, he's able to. Vim ratz l'hatos atzma l'derech ra. And if a person would like to make other decisions and lead himself in a path of rishus, ha-rishus biyado, then the Rambam tells us, don't make the mistake that so many people make. That Hashem decides if you're going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. That is a tremendous error when people say, what can I do? Hashem created me this way. I have no choice. Ein adover kein. Ella kol adam roilo lios tzaddik kimoshe rabenu o rasha kiravam. Everyone has the ability to be a tzaddik like Moshe. The Chanan points out he doesn't say a chacham like Moshe. There's a discussion. Moshe mokam b'Yisrael k'Moshe od, but certainly a tzaddik like Moshe is possible. Or if you want, you could be a rasha like Yeravam ben Nevat, o chacham, or a fool, or a merciful person, or a cruel person. V'chein shar kol deo, says the Rambam, it's in your hands. You want to be a tzaddik? You can come to the Beis Medrash, you can learn, you can do chesed, you can daven, you can be a tzaddik. You want to be a rasha? There's plenty of opportunities to be a rasha as well. This is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, the fifth parak. However, seemingly, it's a stira to a very famous Gemara Nida. The Gemara tells us in Nida, on Tezayin Amid Beis, Dorash of Chanina Bar Papa, there's a malach who's memuna al haherayon. There's a certain malach that's job is to take care of the fetuses before they're born. He's notel tipa u'ma'amidu l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even before the fetus is created, he takes the tipa that the fetus comes from and he holds it up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Ribono shel olam, tipa zu, matiela. What's going to be with this tipa? Gibor o chalash. So you're going to be strong or weak. Chacham o tipesh, ashir o ani. Vilu rush o tzaddik lo kamar. Because rishus and being a tzaddik, that's something that's in your hand. So we have a question here. I want to be a chacham. Is being a chacham something that's in my hands? The Rambam wrote, you have the ability to be a chacham. Rishus l'chol adam. And he says here in Halacha Beis, if you want, you could be chacham. Chacham, O Sochal, O Rachman, O Achzari, it's in your hands. And yet the Gemara Nida tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer on the tipa. You're going to be a Chacham. So we have a question. Does genius, does intelligence, is it nature or is it nurture? Are you born with a high IQ or do you have the ability to develop your high IQ? To become the status of a Chacham, there's a gezeira on the tipa that he's a chacham, like the Gemara says in Nida, or it's biyado to decide if he wants to be a chacham. This is the question that was asked to the Maharami Rutenberg. If you take a look here in the Hagos Maimonios, written by a Talmud of the Maharam of Rutenberg. So he asks, Tema, this is on that Rambam. Tema, this is on the word Chacham. When the Rambam says Chacham, says wise man or fool, it's your choice. Says that goes Maimonios. Tema, to beferish Amr beperek kol hayad, says in the Gemara, that there's a malach, a mamun al harayon. And he's note of the tipa, and he decides, are you going to be a tipesh or a chacham? So doesn't that go against our Rambam here? So he gives a first answer, which we'll leave for now. And then he says as follows. Shema yesh lomar, le'inyin yirah shamayim. It's another possibility. Maybe one of them is talking about yirah shamayim. We'll leave that also. Reishis chachma yirah Hashem. Maybe one of the chachmas, one chachma, right? What's our stira? One source tells me, you don't have the choice if you're a chacham or not. You're born that way. Another source tells me it's biyadcha. So his first answer is maybe yirah shamayim. Maybe actual raw intelligence, IQ. That comes from the malach. That's from Hashem. It's not your decision. But yirah shamayim. Reishis chachma yirah Hashem. The first of all the chachmas is yirah shamayim. Maybe that's your decision. That's your choice. And then he tells us another answer. Ubemigdal Eisenshine. Tiretzli Mori Rabbeinu. My Rebbe the Maharam told me when he was in the Tower of Eisenshine. What's the Tower of Eisenshine? We know that the Maharami Rutenberg, at the end of his life, he was taken captive and he died. The last 10 years of his life he spent in a tower, in a jail. His Talmidim were allowed to visit him. But he died there, and his body was held onto, unfortunately, for many years by the Gentile authorities until finally it was ransomed by someone and was redeemed by someone. He was brought to Kfuras Yisrael. But he died, and he spent the end of his life in this tower. So apparently, the author of the Hagos Maimonios used to visit him in the tower, and they would learn in the tower. So on one of the visits, he asked them this question, what do you do with this stira? So he says, Tiretz li mori rabbeinu, and what it says in the Gemara is lasos lo lev chacham. What's the answer to the stira? The Gemara in Nida is talking about whether you're going to have chachma, raw intelligence. What is the Rambam talking about? He says maybe what the Rambam means is are you going to be a person who's ochez bechachma, grabs onto chachma. So I'd like to give a suggestion of what the Maharami Rutenberg meant. What I think he means is that it's true. Raw intelligence is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where is my role? How do I have the right to decide, or how do I have the ability to decide if I'm going to be a Chacham? The answer is, you might not be able to decide how much raw intelligence you have, but you get to decide your work ethic. You get to decide how relentless you will be in the pursuit of Torah. Do you want to grab it? Lechos b'chachma? Does that become your passion? The pursuit of chachma, of Torah and chachma, is that something that maybe we can even use the word that becomes an obsession? The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Tshuva that a person, he compares it to a man who is lovesick over a woman. He writes that kirvas Hashem, the true Oved Hashem, he becomes almost obsessed, not in the pejorative sense to be obsessed, but it becomes a central focus. He's driven. You see some guys in the Beis Medrash, and they're driven. They're reading the Tosfos, and they don't have pshat yet. And they say, no, we got to do it again. We got to do it again. We got to do it again. Why do they keep pushing and pushing? Because there's a relentless drive. And that, says the Maharami Rutenberg, that's what the Rambam calls chachma. Chachma is to have a relentless drive to know more chachma. And in fact, that will lead you to be a chacham. It's a famous line from Einstein. Einstein said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. It's true, you have to have a certain amount of chachma. If you have serious learning disabilities and you're not able to read and not able to think, so then it's going to be very hard to become a big Talmud Chacham. But if you have basic intelligence like everyone in this room has, some a little bit more, some a little bit less, It's true, once in a while you have a person who's off the charts. And if he's off the charts, okay, it's hard to keep up with him. But 99.9% of the people are not off the charts. Yochid Bedoro, who's off the charts. Most people, some are a little smarter, some are a little less smart. All of those distinctions are gone once you start factoring in work ethic and dedication and perseverance and tenacity. How hard are you willing to work to become a chacham? So on the Sefer B'nei Chayil, he asks a question on the Pesach Seder. By the Rasha, it's a famous question. His answer is what's unique. We know that the Rasha asks, Maha avodah zos lachem, and boom! He gets smacked for asking, Maha avodah zos lachem. Then comes along, or maybe before, we have the Chacham, and what does the Chacham say? Maha edus v'achukim asher tziva eschem. Whoa, wait a second. Why did the Rasha get punished? Because he was motzi himself from the klal. He said, Ma avoda zos lochem. Lochem, v'lo-lo. Right? Everyone remembers from the Haggadah. He didn't include himself. He said, to you. And yet, what does the tzaddik say? What does the chacham say? Ma idus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem eschem. To you. So, he's motzi himself as well. So the Sefer B'nei Chayil says, I'll tell you what's unique about the Chacham. What distinguishes between the Chacham and the Rasha? Says the Bnei Chayil, because you missed the beginning of the Pasuk. It says about the Ben Chacham, Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar. And he says, you know what? The Tzaddik doesn't just sit there at the Seder. Now we're going to run with what he said a little bit, and expand on it a little bit. He doesn't just ask at the Seder, hey, what is all this stuff? Do you know what? He comes back Lamachar. He comes back tomorrow. He doesn't just get inspired by a moment and say, all right, right now I'm inspired, so I'll learn. Oh, but tomorrow I'm ready. Oh, I'm hanging out in Yerushalayim already. You know, I'll push it Thursday night, but already now, tomorrow, who needs to learn on a Friday? Got to catch that first bus. Who cares about Friday shiur? No, machar. Also tomorrow, the day after. The day after the inspiration, he's still pushing himself. That's what makes him the chacham. That's what distinguishes between the two. He's relentless. He's a chacham because he comes back and he continues to ask his questions. To be a chacham, you need to have perseverance. You need to be driven. It manifests itself in sometimes the very little things. Like for instance, let's say you have your Makoro sheet in the morning in Seder and you finish the Makoro sheet. And it's only 11:45. So you have 15 minutes or 20 minutes or half hour or 40 minutes until shiur starts. So what do? Do you say, well, I finished the Makoro sheet, so I'm done for today. I'm going to go get a coffee, go back to the dorm, get something to eat, and I'll be in time for shiur. Or do you say, morning Seder, I have morning Seder till 12:15. I have an extra minute. It's not about the Makoros. Okay, so well, this is not a lecture that I'm preparing for. I'm trying to learn Maseches Nedarim. So if I finish the Makoros, or sometimes you start reading in a Makor, and the Rebbe says to read until this line, and you're reading, and you're reading, and then you're not sure where it's going, so you ask the Rebbe, and he says, oh, you know, I really meant like a line ago. You're like, you're done already. But you came to ask a question. Rebbe, I don't understand what's Tosfos' question. And you come to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, oh, I only needed you to go up to the line before. So what do you say back to the Rebbe? Do you say, oh, because this was getting long, these Makoros? Or do you say, but I want to know what the question is. I didn't come to ask you where the Makoros go to. I want to know Pshat and Tosfos. Are you relentless? You want to know? You hear something from the Rebbe, and you say, yeah, I guess that sort of makes sense. I basically understand it. Or do you push yourself? You got to get it clear. You got to ask again. You got to ask again. Because you need to know. You should all keep a safer in your glove compartment. Have a safer you take with you to the doctor's office. Because you have precious moments. You get to the doctor's office, you have to wait 20 minutes until it's your turn. You get to the Tachanah Merkazit and the next bus is not for another 20 minutes. It's great, you have your safer with you. You push, you keep pushing, you're relentless, you need to know. You want to finish Nedarim. So we're not going to finish it in Bikiyas. So you're going to find time because you have this drive. You want to finish the Masechta, you want to know more. You want to learn more. That's the sign of a Chacham. Or maybe my favorite example, because it helps to vindicate me. Let's say the Rebbe comes a minute or two late to shiur. And you're sitting in the shiur room. So what are you doing when you're waiting for shiur to start? Are you watching football highlights? Are you playing on a game on your phone? Or are you chazering the Makoros? You're going over the Gemara again. You're sitting there in a room full of Bachurei Yeshiva. You all have Gemaras. So, okay, so the Rebbe's not here yet. So are you playing a catch with a stuffed animal? I'm just giving a random example. Are you playing catch with a stuffed animal that for some reason your Rebbe has a pink teddy bear in his room? Or are you sitting and you're chazering it again, you're learning it more because you're trying to get into it? These are the signs of a chacham. There's nothing wrong, theoretically, with checking the sports scores. Or, you know, there might be something wrong with playing with the stuffed animal, but we'll talk about that another time. But there's nothing wrong with it. No one's saying that you're doing anything bad. It's totally fine. But if you want to become a chacham, if you really want the Keser Torah that the Rambam speaks about, the Rambam says there's a Keser Kahuna Parshas Emor. And the only people who get that are the Kohanim. There's a Keser Melucha to be a king. Only certain people get that. You got to be from Malchus Beis David. But there's another Keser in Klal Yisrael. It's called the Keser Torah. And the Keser Torah is available to anyone. You know that the Gedolim of the door didn't become the Gedolim because they were born into royal families. They became Gedolim because they worked and they pushed themselves. Judaism, the Torah world, is a equal opportunity experience. Anyone who wants to become a Gadol B'Torah has the ability. You don't have to be from a certain yichus or from a certain stock. Anyone in this room who wants to push himself and become a Talmud Chacham has the ability and the right and will be recognized as such, not that that's why we do it, for being a Talmud Chacham. Eizehu Chacham, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, halomed mikol adam. So there's a little bit of a funny question here. Eizehu Chacham halomed mikol adam. He learns from the barber, and he learns from the mechanic, and he learns from his kid. He learns from everybody. Wait a second. He's really such a chacham? I mean, if he's such a chacham, why does he need to learn from all these people? Eizehu chacham halomed mikol adam. What do you mean? If he's a chacham, why does he need to learn from people? And the answer is very simple. It doesn't mean eizehu chacham, who is brilliant, the one who needs to learn from everyone. It's who has this quality of a chacham. It's the one who everyone he meets, he wants to hear from them. Tell me something. Tell me a nice vort. Tell me how this works. I want to know. I have an unquenchable thirst for chachma. And maybe we could suggest that that's also the pshat in the Haggadah. When the Haggadah says, the ben chacham, comes along the ben chacham, he's a big chacham, and he wants to know, ma ha'edos v'achukim. Why doesn't he know what the Eidos and Chukim are? You don't know what Eidos and Chukim are? What kind of Chacham are you? Eizehu Chacham, he wants to know what's the difference between Eidos and Chukim. Everybody knows what the difference are between Eidos and Chukim. And we start teaching him, oh, there's something called an Afikomen. You can't eat after it. We all know that. So we're all Chachamim. Doesn't mean Chacham that he's brilliant. It means that he has a drive he wants to know. He has a drive for knowledge. And I thought maybe, you know, why does the Hagos Maimonios tell us that he learned this answer from the Maharam in the Tower of Eisenstein? Okay, it's an interesting historical fact. It's a nice little extra thing you can throw in if you're giving a shiur and you read this, you can tell, oh, there was a Maharam, he was in a tower. Why does he tell us that in this halacha, dafka in this halacha? So I thought maybe al-derech ha-drush we can say that there were a lot of halachos that he learned from him. Why in this one does he mention that he learned it in the Tower of Eisenstein? Because he's trying to teach you something. Look at the Maharam. He's an old man. He's locked up in a tower. And what's he still doing? He's learning morning Seder, afternoon Seder, and night Seder. He's learning away. The Talmidim are coming. They're relentless. Both the Talmidim and the Rebbe. The Rebbe, I'm sure the conditions were not very good in a German tower in the 1100s. Germany gets pretty cold in the winter. I imagine it wasn't the most pleasant experience to be locked away in a tower. And yet, what was the Maharam doing? He was saying pshat in this Rambam. And his life was pshat in this Rambam. And his Talmidim, what were they doing? I'm sure the tower wasn't in their town. They were traveling miles over mountains and in dangerous areas to get to the tower. Why? To get a little bit more chachma from their Rebbe. To learn a little bit more. The Tower of Eisenstein represents exactly what the Rambam is trying to teach us. And I think with this we can answer the original question. What does it mean that Hashem only gives chachma to one who has chachma? It doesn't mean that he only gives chachma to people who are already brilliant and they don't need chachma. Rather, what it means is he only gives chachma to people who have this quality of chacham, that they're seeking out that they have this drive for Torah. It's true, you can read a little bit of Gemara and learn a little bit. But if you want the Siyata Deshmaya, to really, really learn a lot, to really become a Talmud Chacham, to really come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way you accomplish that is with tremendous Siyata Deshmaya. How are you Zocha to the Siyata Deshmaya? It's only if you're a Chacham, if you have that quality. But there's a problem. There's a big problem as I stand here and try to encourage you to develop this Chacham personality. And the problem is that when you develop a relentless personality, you have this vigorous pursuit of Torah, it's great when it's channeled towards Torah. But what happens when you now have become this intense, unrelenting, overpowering personality, and that's how you start interacting with others as well? It's very hard to, on the one hand, be driven, be intense, vigorous pursuit of Torah, and yet when you're interacting with other people, that we don't see that intensity, that vigor, rather we see the gentle kindness, the compassion. This struggle, as we pointed out in Pirkei Avos, I believe this morning, is highlighted by a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, "Havi oz kenamer," you should be fiery, brazen, like a panther, like a leopard. You should be intense. And yet, the next line in the Mishnah says, "Az ponim legehenim." A person who's got an az ponim, he's relentless, he's vigorous, he's intense, he goes to Gehenim. Whoa, wait a second. Yehuda ben Tema, you just told me to be az kanamim. You just said if I want to be successful, I need to be az, like a panther. And now you're telling me, oh, but if you're az, you're going to go to Gehenim. What's the Mishnah telling us? So perhaps the pshat in the Mishnah is, Chazal have their own interpretations of what az ponim means. But maybe we could suggest that az ponim means that's you wear it on your face. That's how you interact with other people. When you're learning, you need to be az kanamer. When it's time to get up in the morning, it's unheard of. I mean, it's not unheard of, but it's not shayach that at the end of the year, after Pesach, we're still struggling to get up in the morning for Shachris. Chevra, if again, it's human, it's normal. It's normal to be tired. But if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, if you want to really accomplish, you got to be az kanamer when the alarm goes off. There's always a good excuse. The alarm didn't really go off, and my roommate turned it off, and I started to get out of bed. There's always good excuses. No one's blaming you. Those are good excuses. But if you're relentless, if you're like a panther, so you're az kanamer, you jump out of bed in the morning, you're ready to go. And at the same time, if as you're jumping out of bed, your roommate's in the way, you at the same time, you tiptoe carefully around him, and you're super quiet and compassionate and pleasant in your interactions with other people. And that is a tremendous challenge. But this week's parsha teaches us some beautiful, beautiful messages about the importance of, on the one hand, we have to become a Talmud Chacham, like the Kohanim, to seek to be beyond and to maximize and to overachieve, and at the same time, the value of sensitivity towards other people. A really, really beautiful section, not at first glance, is at the very end of the Parsha, when we learn about the Mekalel. And we know that the Mekalel, so he curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what happens? So the Torah tells us, Torah tells us at the very end of Parshas Emor, there was a Mekalel, and they didn't know what to do with him. So what happened? Pasuk says, before they knew what to do, Vayanichuhu b'mishmar, they put him in jail. They locked him up someplace. Lifrosh lohem al pi Hashem, in order so they can clarify what should be with him. So Rashi quotes and tells us that Vayanichuhu means that they put him by himself. It was solitary. Why was he by himself? Velohi nichu mikoshesh imo. They didn't put him with the mikoshesh. Remember the mikoshesh back from Sefer Shmos? The mikoshesh, that whole story took place in the same time. The mikoshesh ate him. So we already have one guy who's Chayav Misa, the Mekoshesh Eitzim. He's locked up. He's on death row. We're getting ready to give him the death penalty. And now we have a Mekalel. And we put him in a separate cell. We build a separate cell and put him in a cell. Why don't you just stick him in with the Mekoshesh? There's already one guy in jail. Stick him in jail with him. But Rashi learns, Vayanichu Levado, Velo Inichu with the Mekoshesh. They knew the Mekoshesh was Chayav Misa, but they didn't know what to do with him. So they put him alone. It's the end of Rashi. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, a beautiful thing. Okay, so why? Rashi's Medayik in the Pasuk, but they put him alone. They knew what to do with the Mekoshesh, but with the Mekalel, they didn't know. So why didn't they put them together? Says the Sifsei Chachamim, an amazing Ha'arah. Sifsei Chachamim says, imagine you were arrested, and they put you into a cell with a guy who's Chayav Misa. What do you think you're thinking when you go to sleep that night? You're thinking, well, if they put me in here with the guy who's about to get the chair, that means I'm probably also going to get the death penalty. And says the Sifsei Chachamim, even though he was a Mekalel, Bastin, Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't want to be Mitzayer him and give him that psychological stress of, oh no, maybe I'm going to get the death penalty. Even though maybe he is going to get the death penalty. And, spoiler, he does get the death penalty. But they didn't know that yet. Chas v'shalom to make him perhaps think prematurely that he's going to get the death penalty if he might not get the death penalty. Ad kidei kach. And in the Sefer Chidushei Leib, he says that the Suffolk, he says there's one shita that says, what was the Suffolk? How come they didn't know? The Suffolk wasn't, oh, does he get a $10 fine or does he get the death penalty? The Suffolk was, maybe what he did is so chamor that we don't give him the death penalty because it would be a kapara and we don't want him to get a kapara. So says the Sefer Chidushei Leib, if you learn like that, man de amr, so then the chiddush of the Sifsei Chachamim is even more. Here's a guy who our suffix is, maybe the death penalty is not good enough for him, and we still don't want to give him the angst and the concern that he might get the death penalty. Ad kedei kach, the sensitivity that we have to have. And we see this throughout the Torah, even for animals. Pasuk tells us in Devarim, Lo sach rosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. You're not supposed to work your shor and your chamor together. Right? It's going to be a problem of kilayim, to work the field together with a shor and a chamor, an ox and a donkey. So that's a funny, why'd they choose them, those two? Why an ox and a donkey? Why not an ox and a horse? Or a horse and a dog? Why an ox and a donkey? So says the Balei Tosfos. You know why? Because an ox chews its cud. And a donkey does not chew its cud. So you know what's going to be happening? They're going to be working the whole time. And while they're working, what's the cow going to be doing, the ox? He's going to be chewing, because he's chewing his cud. The donkey is not so intelligent. He's a donkey. So he's thinking to himself that the ox is eating. He's not getting any food. How come the ox is getting food and he's not getting food? And he's going to start freaking out because he's hungry. Animals see food. They want to eat. Why is the ox getting to eat and not me? And that's why the Torah chose Lo sach shor v'chamor, in order to tell you that you need to be sensitive to the animals. Same similar idea we find by a very famous halach. We darshan it from a pasuk in Kriya Shema. V'nosati esa b'sadecha livhem techa. From here they learn, Chazal, that what's the din? Before you eat, what do you have to do? You have to feed your animals. Why? How come you have to feed your animals before you yourself eat? My in-laws have some animals in their house. They have an African gray parrot, and a dog, and another parakeet. And my father-in-law, before everybody eats at the Shabbos table, he goes around, he gives the food out to the animals, and then we sit down and eat. Why? Why do you have to feed the animals first? Because animals don't have intelligence. If they see you eating, they don't understand that you're going to give them food afterwards. When they see food, you eating, and they don't have food, it causes them to get all worked up. So we need to be sensitive to the animals. Give them the food first. In fact, there are some shitas that say that you have the same chiyuv for your children. You have to give your children because, not because your children are animals, but because your children, like animals, lack the sophistication to recognize that there's going to be food. If you bring out food, I have a baby, Baruch Hashem, in my house right now. So every time there's food, she starts going, amam, 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 with her hands like this. Why? Whenever she sees food, she just wants to eat. So you can't tell a two-year-old, patience, please, we're going to make kiddush, we're going to wash, and then you'll get your food. You can't say that to a baby. So there's some shitas that say you have to feed your baby before you yourself eat. for the same reason, for this sensitivity. I'll end with one last thing from this week's Parsha. We have a din of osobi espino. You're not allowed to shecht an animal and its child on the same day. There's a big discussion of what the reason is for this mitzvah. One of the reasons is we don't want to develop within ourselves achzorius. We don't want to develop within ourselves cruelty. Now, why is it cruel to kill an animal and its child on the same day? What, you think that the mother recognizes that this is the child? Do animals have the same type of feelings that people have? We discussed this also this morning or yesterday about Shiluach HaKein. Yet the Torah says that we need to develop within ourselves sensitivity. It's the purpose for so many, many mitzvot in the Torah. And I will really conclude just by quoting something that Rav Chaim Ozer, the great Dayan of Vilna, the Gadol in Europe, the generation before the Holocaust, Rav Chaim Ozer. So Rav Chaim Ozer writes in the introduction to one of his Sfarim, he writes that when he was young, and this will highlight the dialectic that we started, that we've been discussing. Rav Chaim Ozer said that when he was young, he always assumed that the greatest accomplishment would be to be mechadish chidushim, to become a big Talmud Chacham. But as he gets older, he realizes that the greatest thing that he can do is he can be mesameach almanos and yesomim. And Rav Chaim Ozer, who was the Gadol Hador, the greatest, one of the greatest minds of his generation, if not the greatest mind. So Rav Chaim Ozer spent, anyone who knows a little bit about him, he spent hours upon hours working on tshuvas in order to be matir agunos. He was the champion of the agunos and the yisomim. Rav Chaim Brisker, you're all familiar with Rav Chaim Brisker, that he wrote Chiddush Rav Chaim ala Rambam. And yet they say that Rav Chaim's brilliance was only dwarfed by his chesed. I know I said I was going to end, but I'll tell you one funny story that they say about Rav Chaim, that there was once an old man, a poor man, who moved into Rav Chaim's house, because that was the minog in Brisk, that poor people were always eating at the house of Rav Chaim Brisker. And one day, there was an old man sitting up at the table. He'd already been eating there for a week, and he was sitting next to Rav Chaim. Now, he had no idea that Rav Chaim was Rav Chaim. He just knew that this was the Rav's house, and there were lots of poor people there. So in the middle of the meal, he gives Rav Chaim a little elbow, and he says, isn't this amazing? They just let you come and they let you eat. You know, I have no money. I've been here already for a week eating. And Rav Chaim just looked at him and said, yeah, that's great. So Rav Chaim Brisker, they say that people used to leave babies on his doorstep. We think Rav Chaim is, you know, this big brain who has time for babies on the doorstep. There are Shver Rambams that need to be worked out. And yet we see that Rav Chaim could be working on a Rambam, but if there was a baby at the door, so Rav Chaim would go to take care of the baby, to help the baby. This is what we need to learn. We need to learn that we need to develop this quality of being a chacham, to be, have a relentless drive to know Torah, to be a Talmud Chacham. Everyone in the room, no one here has an excuse. You've all have great intelligence. You're in great yeshiva. You're in a great yeshiva. You're learning well. You have in front of you, you have a path to become a big Talmud Chacham. It's up to you. But at the same time, while you're pursuing that chachma unrelentlessly, you have to at the same time realize that as you grow in chachma, you are obligated even more so to become great in your sensitivity and care for others. Everyone have a great day.